Tomorrow, actually, sometimes, as you know, we mention the national holidays as they are coming up, so we make sure to pay attention to it. But tomorrow is officially Apraxia Awareness Day. It is Apraxia Awareness Month, and our guest today will discuss what apraxia is and the importance of us being as aware as possible about this disorder. You're listening to That's Life here at the Nachum Segal Network, and I am joined this morning by Ariella Benzaiken. She is a friend, she's an advocate, and she's a parent of a child with apraxia. It is, as I mentioned a second ago, it is National Apraxia Awareness Month, and tomorrow, the 14th, is National Apraxia Awareness Day. And because of Ariella's recent posts on Facebook, I actually became aware of apraxia for the first time. It's not something I'm familiar with, and I have a feeling that many people, many of our listeners, are not familiar with it, are not aware that it even exists. And so I welcome Ariella this morning to discuss apraxia and being a parent of a child with apraxia. Ariella, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining me. I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you got a busy schedule, and between work and family life, you know, taking a break to do this is really much appreciated. Let's talk for a second about Moshe. So Moshe is what number child for you?
Okay, so he is my second child out of three. He's 5 years old. He just turned five. And he's the happiest kid I know.
And his diagnosis came when?
So apraxia isn't officially diagnosed until the age of three.
Okay.
But ever since he was a baby, he had a lot of delays, a lot of physical delays, just in general developmental delays. And then as a baby, he wasn't making so many sounds or moving his mouth or putting toys in his mouth. So at about two, he was getting speech therapy, and they said they suspected apraxia. So then finally at age three, he was officially diagnosed with it.
So I just went on the apraxia-kids.org website, and I just want to read the official diagnosis, the official definition, because because some of the things that you're describing, we see in, you know, we see certain of those elements in kids. But the fact that it's an actual, you know, diagnosis is something else. So the website reads as follows. Apraxia Kids envisions a world where every child with apraxia of speech reaches their highest communication potential through accurate diagnosis and appropriate timely treatment. We believe that every child deserves a voice. However, we know that the first time many people hear childhood apraxia of speech is when their child is receiving the diagnosis. Raising awareness means that upon receiving a diagnosis, a parent is aware of what that means, and the speech therapist is aware of how best to support the child and the family. The more people that know and understand apraxia, the more support children and families will have. Early intervention is crucial. A team supporting a child with apraxia is crucial. And I've learned that along the way, says that parent who's being quoted there. Now, what I have down here is that apraxia is a neurological disease. It affects people unable to carry out everyday movements and gestures. For example, someone with apraxia may be unable to tie their shoelaces. People with apraxia of speech find it challenging to talk and express themselves through speech. So tell me, is that what you see with Moshe? You see that the words are sort of there, but they can't come out?
So it's really interesting. As you mentioned, there are a lot of different types of apraxia. Apraxia of speech is one of the more common ones, but apraxia affects, they think, one out of every 1,000 people.
Wow.
So it is rare, and it's really unknown. Moshe, actually, at one point, they thought he had global apraxia, so the physical piece of it, too. He actually has verbal apraxia and oral apraxia. So what that means is the verbal apraxia piece is that his brain knows exactly what he wants to say. He knows what he wants to say, but the message to the mouth doesn't go through clearly. So he struggles and grasps for the correct sounds to make the words. So everyone can speak without thinking. For Moshe, he has to think about, how does my mouth have to form to make that sound? And how do I put the sounds together to make that word? And then how do I make the words come together to make the sentence? for everything he wants to say.
Wow. Now, I'm going to ask you a question simply out of ignorance. His hearing is fine, right?
Yes, we had to get it checked out, but his hearing is completely fine.
Right. I imagine you've gotten it checked out. I'm just asking as somebody who just is trying to understand this for the first time. There are so many of our listeners who I bet are saying, you know, get his hearing checked. No, you've done that already. You know what you're looking at.
He had an MRI. They checked to make sure it wasn't something that was wrong with his brain. It's not a speech delay even. It's just trouble with those complex movements that you need for speech. It's difficulty with the planning of the movement sequences. So what that looks like is that if he wants to say the word yogurt, it might come out as O because he can't get the sound, the Y sound or the G or the R sound. So for us, it's really trying to help him form his mouth the right way to make the proper sound to communicate what he knows he wants to say. And what's amazing is kids with apraxia, they have good understanding. They understand when people talk to them. They just can't respond to you in the way that they want to.
So how does he respond to you?
So he has become unbelievable at nonverbal communication. One of the global apraxia that I mentioned earlier makes fine motor difficult as well. So he couldn't, even trying to teach him typical American Sign Language was a struggle for him because he couldn't make the fine motor gestures that is needed. So he kind of made up a bunch of his own sign language, and we have to just learn what he's doing. Or he's really good at imitating an animal, if that's what he's trying to say, or pulling me over and pointing to something. We actually just started, which is amazing, thank God for technology. He has something called an AAC device, which is a special program on an iPad that he has tons of folders with lots of words, and his speech therapist tried to train him to say what he wants to say on the device. So he pushes a button, and the button says the word that he's trying to say.
Wow, that's incredible. And I assume that it's a program, it's an app, it's something specially developed for people with apraxia. I assume that's something that's readily available.
Yeah, it is. It's expensive, but it's out there for people. It's out there and it's really helpful. I mean, he has to learn how to use it appropriately, but it's just incredible. That with the nonverbal communication. And again, you have a whole team of therapists. So there are different types of speech therapy that people with apraxia might try. So there's something called prompt therapy, where they physically move your mouth. They help you form the right way to push your lips forward so that your muscles get used to that movement and can readily make those sounds. There are all types of different approaches in speech therapy, and you just have to find the right one that works for your kid.
Wow, unbelievable. You're listening to That's Life here at the Nachum Segal Network, and I'm joined by Ariella Ben-Zaken. She is the parent of Moshe, a child with apraxia, and we are discussing apraxia awareness as May is Apraxia Awareness Month, and tomorrow in the United States is National Apraxia Awareness Day. Let's talk for a second about Moshe's smiley and warm and amazing disposition. I mean, you're so blessed with this kid who every single Facebook post that I see of him, I mean, his smile makes me smile. So
yeah.
So tell me when he gets frustrated. I have to imagine he gets frustrated. Tell me what it's like when he gets frustrated.
Yeah. So what's incredible is he is so hardworking. He has so many different therapies that he has to go to that I would expect him to be frustrated all the time. You know, between making sounds and me trying to guess if he's saying cheese or chase or whatever he's trying to say, sometimes I don't even know and I understand him the best since I'm with him the most. And he's so good at just saying no and trying to tell me a different way of that word. There are times, I would say, especially on Shabbat when he can't use his device, his iPad, he does get a little frustrated. Sometimes he'll try different ways to tell me. Sometimes he'll kind of just give up and move on. And sometimes it's bursts into tears. But again, he's quick to recover and quick to find a different way to communicate, which is amazing.
That is amazing. And what is his therapy schedule like?
Well, he goes to public school for part of the day. And at public school, he receives OT, PT, and speech therapy multiple times a week. And then privately, he goes to a speech therapist 3 times a week outside of school and an OT once a week outside of school as well.
That is intense, and I give you and your husband and the entire team a real virtual hug in terms of I'm sure what that additional stress does for the two of you in terms of making sure that you have everybody where they need to be. It's very, very challenging. That I can imagine. Let's talk for a second about the other kids. I mean, first of all, I don't want to belittle the fact that he being your second child, you sort of understood what to expect with a second kid, because I assume that the first child, your oldest, developed the way, shall we say, we would expect a child to develop. And so when Moshe came around and wasn't reaching those milestones, you were able to say, you know, there's a red flag here.
Absolutely. My daughter, who's now 7, she was actually extremely verbal as a baby. She was talking early. And then once Moshe came around, it wasn't even the speech that got us concerned. You know, even as a baby, because of this global apraxia, he struggled with rolling over. You know, he needed to be taught where his hands need to be to push himself up to roll over. So we realized then that there was something going on. This speech issue didn't even come up until later on when he was supposed to be talking. So it's more than just delayed speech. It's delayed and still not happening.
Delayed and still not happening. But using that
and there's no... Yeah, there's no cure or no quick fix. You know, it's just years of intensive and frequent speech therapy.
Right. That was something that I had noticed. You're not raising awareness because there is, there's something at the Mayo Clinic where they're looking on developing a cure for apraxia. That's not what this awareness is about. This awareness is about making sure that people know that there's another group in our society, and they might be 1 in 1,000. They might be 1 in 1,000, but that one voice still deserves to be heard and recognized. And I think that that's so important, obviously, on so many reasons, because as we're developing continued sensitivity to a variety of different people with a variety of different needs, people with apraxia are no different. And there may be adults that we recognize now could have been misdiagnosed when we were kids, could have been assumed to be X when they were really Y. And if we really understood a variety of different disorders better, if we were able to bring them to the forefront better, we would develop, hopefully, a much more sympathetic and warm society.
Absolutely. I think the most important part for Moshe, the reason why this year I chose to really advocate as much as I can and bring this awareness around, is because, you know, he's 5 and he's starting to try to talk more to people. And I want people to understand that he understands. He can have a conversation with you. You can talk to him. He might not answer in the typical way, but he's trying to communicate and he can understand what's happening and what you're saying to him. So even though it appears that, you know, he might not understand because he's not answering back, you know, people with apraxia, they just communicate differently.
That is such a good message. What are your other kids? Tell me about them. Tell me about their development and how they interact with Moshe.
Sure. So my daughter, Yaffa, who's 7, she's amazing with him. She is basically his translator to the world. And I've often wondered what she thinks about him. You know, when he turned 5, she said, you know, I kind of wished for his birthday he would learn how to be able to talk easier. You know, so she knows that he struggles. She's very encouraging, very patient with him, and also fights with him and treats him like a sibling, which is fantastic. She will, if we're out in public and he tries to say something and someone doesn't understand, she says, oh, he has apraxia. His mouth doesn't work the same way. So whether she understands that fully or not, she really is amazing with him. Then I have a 17-month-old, Gabrielle, who is developing typically. There are times where we'll be at home and practicing saying a word with Moshe. So we'll say, okay, Moshe, let's practice saying Lego. And we hear the 17-month-old say Lego. So right now, you know, Moshe doesn't seem bothered by it, but I'm sure it will be a struggle that things come easier to the baby than it does to him.
Right.
But he's a hard worker.
He is a hard worker and with a golden, golden smile. I want you to know that. First of all, as a person who's been paying attention to your Facebook posts, I applaud you, because I don't know what it's like, but I can't imagine that it's easy. So I certainly applaud you and Shlomo for that. That is for sure. But
thank you.
But in addition, you know, this is one of the times where I am so proud to be active on social media, and I believe that the internet is a good thing. There are, as I've said a million times on these airwaves, you can use something for good and you can use it for evil. And there are plenty of people who are using social media for evil, and that is for sure. But this is one of the times when it's good, because I didn't know anything about this. I did not know you had a child with apraxia until you started posting about it. And I very much appreciate that, because you have made me aware. And that's a big deal. I would not have thought of reaching out to you had it not been about your posts.
I really appreciate that. You know, people have been extremely supportive in their responses to my posts, and people have told me that they've never heard of apraxia. And I appreciate, for Moshe's sake, that people are willing to learn about it and understand. So it's really been amazing.
Talk to me also about his schooling for a second. I know I hear the therapy sessions and the multiple times a week where he's getting different therapies, and that's unbelievable. But what is the classroom setting like for him?
So it's interesting. This year he's in pre-K, and for half of the day he's in Jewish day school here in Ohio, and the other half of the day he goes to public school. So he leaves early and then gets bused to the local public school where they do his therapies. So his class at the Jewish day school, he's one of 14 kids in the class, and it's really been incredible seeing the other kids with him. They know that he can't speak well, but he's so often included, and they get excited when he comes to school and say, Moshe's here, which has been amazing for him, and they help him with things he needs help with. In his public school, he's actually one of 4 kids this year, and 2 teachers. So
wow.
He gets a lot of attention, a lot of support, and a lot of encouragement, which has been amazing. And next year, he'll start kindergarten all day in public school.
Wow, unbelievable. You know, something else that we as a Jewish community have gotten better with and have had its struggles with was making sure to be as inclusive as possible in shul. So I wonder what that's like for him. What are Shabbos's like?
Well, we haven't been to shul for a while.
Right. Fair point.
Right. But, you know, it's interesting because here our groups just opened up for the children. And I'm often hesitant to send him to places like that where I can't be there to translate for him. But we definitely are learning that he's kind of asking us for more independence. Wow. You know, he doesn't want me to hold his hand on the stairs anymore. And he's kind of yearning for that independence. So I think a piece of it is me letting go and saying, all right, you got this. You can figure out how to communicate. I worry about it. You know, apraxia does often affect friendships and confidence. And if people always turn to you and say, I don't know what you're saying, you know, that's really tough.
100%.
So 100%. A piece of it is just like letting go a little bit and giving him the confidence that he can do it and making sure that the adults are aware of apraxia and know that he is capable of communicating in other ways.
That is such a great message. You're listening to That's Life here at the Nachum Segal Network. I'm joined by Ariella Ben-Zaken. She is a parent and child advocate for children with apraxia. She is the mother of Moshe, who was diagnosed with apraxia at the age of 3. We're discussing it today as part of Apraxia Awareness Month, and as tomorrow is National Apraxia Day, we want to make sure that people are as aware as possible. Ariella, we have like 2 minutes left. I really just want to ask you also about, I mean, you know, you come from a long line of Jewish educators, and I wonder if this experience now with raising a child with apraxia who's having a different Jewish education, a different education experience than your other children and certainly ones that you had and that I had, I wonder if this has, you know, further opened their eyes to what it looks like to teach and to educate a child who has different needs than the other Jewish children in the classroom.
It's been a learning experience for all of us. His teachers have been really open to learning new ways to help him. He loves singing. He loves songs. Even though he is unintelligible when he sings it, he really gets it. And when you say a word that's in a song, he'll start singing it. So I just think there are, you know, even if he can't say the word, if you give him 2 choices, he can tell you. So if you present him with 2 different options, what do you like better, apples dipped in honey or you know, apple pie. He can tell you and he can participate in the growth and learning. You just need to think of a different way of asking the question.
That is such a another very important message, not only as educators, that there sometimes you just got to ask the question differently. It's almost, I'm going to use this word and this doesn't capture it, but it's almost as simple as that, right? It's almost as simple as just meeting a child where he or she is in order to help them shine, and Moshe is no different than that.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
Amazing. Ariella Ben-Zakian, I thank you so much for your time. I thank you so much for your honesty. And honestly, I thank you for your Facebook posts.
thank you.
And Moshe should continue to smile and continue to make you and the whole family smile. And we look forward to hearing great things.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. My pleasure. You've been listening to That's Life here at the Nachum Segal Network.